The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tupper's Plains, Ohio. Reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and enjoy an exciting service and experience. True love, pure worship, real answers.
For some reason, I get a sense that this is sort of a solemn occasion for everyone and, you know, memories from the past. I was raised in a very traditional, rigid atmosphere in church. So if you see me as a rigid, traditional person, there's a good reason for that. But I try not to be. I know outwardly I probably look like it, but if you get to spend any time with me, you see that I'm really just a soft person probably. Anyway, let's open with prayer. Father God, I just thank you for this night. And Father God, we believe in your healing capacity. We know that you have the power and authority to touch any situation right now, Father God. And I want to lift Millard to you right now, Father, in Jesus' name. He's spoken his request and asked for us to pray. And that's what we're doing right now, Father. We're lifting him to you. And we believe in Jesus' name that you're going to touch his body. Amen. Okay. Tonight's going to be a little bit different than probably what you've seen or been to in the past. If you would turn with me in the book of Genesis, 22nd chapter. Genesis 22, starting in the first verse. Sometime later, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. And then God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. And when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he sent out for the place God had told him about. And on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. And as the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, father? Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here. Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. Now, I want you to know what kind of pastor you have. I woke up this morning and I was feeling a little down. It's been a tough year for a lot of people in this body. I lost my father this year in February. And then, you know, the passing of family and friends that we have in the body is tough. And then when you, especially if you're used to having those people around you at Christmas time, it's tough. And Pastor Rob called me today. And, you know, when my phone was ringing, I was in the bedroom. I was doing something, putting clothes away or something, my clothes in the closet or something. And first thing I heard the phone ring, I thought, oh, my goodness, they're calling me to work again or something, you know. So I let the phone ring about five times. I thought maybe I'll go to voicemail by the time. It was Pastor Rob, and he was still there. And he said, how are you? And I said, well, I mean, I was just honest. I said, I'm okay. I said, nothing to write home about. But He said, what's going on? I just want to check with you, make sure everything's okay with you. And I mean, how does he know these things, you know? You know how he knows, because the Holy Spirit speaks to him. And you need to have confidence in Pastor Rob. Even when what you see on the outside is not what you think should be going on in here, you trust God, and God will make a way. So he basically read my mail. And I wanted to hang up on him. You know, I wanted to put it, I was like, come on, you know, leave me alone, you know, let me feel sorry for myself for a while. And so anyhow, he said, can I pray for you? And that's just like, ah. You know, you're a man, you're like, I don't want you to pray for me right now. I want to feel sorry for myself. Anyway, so I said, yeah, you can go ahead and pray. So he did, and I felt great, you know, after he prayed. And it was nothing fabulous, just he prayed, you know. And you should count it an honor to be a part of this body. And if you're on the outside looking in, that you're really not a member anywhere, listen to God. And if he tells you to go somewhere and be planted, then do that. Whether it's here or somewhere 10 miles or 20 miles from here, listen to God. And he will put you where you need to be, and you will be fed what you need to be fed. Because if you are where you are not supposed to be, you're getting the wrong meal. Okay. Turn with me to the book of Luke, please. Luke, the second chapter. Starting in the first verse. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while, help me here, Quirinius, the governor of Syria, and everyone went together to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. You know, similar to what happened in a sense with Abraham, happened to Joseph. Joseph was called to do something that to a man in his natural mind would not be able to do. And Abraham was called by God to sacrifice his only son. And any man in his natural mind would be unable to even go anywhere near that task. So, you see, God will give you the strength and ability to do the things that you in your own power can't do. But obedience is the key. That first step of faith, once you take it, God meets you in that right in that first step when you take it. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I will bring to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning that had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they heard and seen were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. And when the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem, not young, called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought out the child Jesus to do for him what was custom in the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel." Now, as I was pondering for the last few weeks on what to say on a very traditional Christmas service, I started getting this little vision, and it was just, it was nothing elaborate, just a little story that was coming into my mind. So I wrote it out, and it's not too long. It's just 4 pages. So I'll read it to you. It's called Great King and His Kingdom. There once was a great king who ruled an awesome kingdom. The king had great love for his people. He showed mercy, love, and patience for them. And not unlike any of the other kingdoms, his kingdom had laws and regulations to live by. The king was true and just in all of his judgments concerning these laws and regulations of his land. And unlike other kings, he was concerned for the well-being of all of his people, not just the prominent and the wealthy. This king had ambassadors. They were men and women that he trusted with his kingdom matters. This king shared his thoughts and the desires of his heart with these ambassadors. And the king found out that there was a large number of people in his kingdom in the outer parts that had mixed feelings about him being their king. They were insecure and unsure about how he, the king, truly felt about them. This was due to some of their leaders in this country, in this part of the country, who had misrepresented the king and his thoughts toward them through lies and manipulation. The king found out and was deeply troubled by this. So he sent ambassadors periodically to share his heart and the desires of his heart for all of his people to know him and all of his ways. A lot of the people in this group accepted the words of the ambassadors, but a few were threatened by these ambassadors. They were worried that this newfound truth would reveal the true intent of their heart and that they might lose their important positions. The untrue leaders conspired to throw the ambassadors out of their cities and even punish and stone the ones who were very fervent and relentless in speaking of the king's true love. When the king learned of how his ambassadors were horribly treated, he was upset and angry. After deep thought, the king realized that if he would send his son, whom he loved more than his life and than life itself, to the people, that they would surely understand that he was genuine in his love for them and in his desire to be one with them. So in likewise manner of the ambassadors, the son of the king, he got through to many of the people. He shared his father's love, his joy, and his peace with them. The people saw how genuine the son's heart toward them was, and word spread throughout their country that the king and his son truly loved them. Threatened by this revelation, the untrue leaders conspired together on how to rid themselves of the son before they lost their positions of leadership. They brought false charges against the son. They tried him and sentenced him to death. The king knew of the untrue leader's plan to silence and kill his son. But he knew that this was part of his plan to open the eyes of not only the people in this small country, but to open the eyes of all the people so that they can love and know him as their own king. The king, in his great wisdom, stayed his hand from interfering and allowed the untrue rulers to try, sentence, and punish his son. Second Peter 3:9 says it's God's will that no man perish apart from the knowledge of God. And tonight I just wanted to share a little bit of what I knew about, you know, the Father's love and his heart. That's what sending Jesus was all about. Because without him, we have no way to him, to the Father. Mitch, would you mind coming up here, please? Now, Mitch, I want you to answer this question. As soon as it comes to your head, just say it.
I don't think I've asked.
This will be easy. Okay, now, pretend that your son, Garrett, was on a cruise ship. Let's say a few years from now when he's 22. Okay?
Okay.
That'll be a few years, won't it?
That'll be a few.
A couple of trials coming between now and then, maybe?
That probably will happen.
Nothing you can't handle, though, with God.
Well, God's going to handle it. I'm not going to be there, but God's going to take care of it. So.
Okay, so let me put you in a scenario.
Okay.
Let's say that you live off the coast and you own a ship. And your son has just left on a cruise on a large ship. And this ship goes out to sea. It's about, I don't know, hour and a half away. And you hear over the Coast Guard radio that the ship is sinking. So when Garrett found out that the ship was sinking, he jumped overboard without a life vest. Now, after the ship's already been sunk, there are people in the water that have been treading water for a long time. Let's say this half of the room. And on your way, somehow you know by the Spirit of God that Garrett is about 2 miles away from where the ship went down. So now you have to make a decision because Garrett can only tread water for so long.
Right.
And these people can only tread water for so long. So now you choose, who do you go after to save?
It won't be a choice. God will give me my hands to reach. So that's who I'm going with.
I know. In your natural father, you would go after your son.
Yeah, you would think that, though. Yeah, you would. That would be your intentions.
And it would be hard. You would be hard-pressed to go otherwise. So you see the dilemma. Thank you. You see the dilemma that God had. Now, I want to tell you something. I just had a slight revelation when I was writing this down. God made that decision when the Holy Spirit came upon Mary and she was impregnated with Jesus. That decision was already made. And that's what kind of father we have. Yes. That even though you don't understand, and maybe you've been misled in the past about how God truly feels about you, it's His desire that you know Him. And you cannot, I don't want to say this the wrong way. Don't believe everything you hear. God wants you to know for yourself. You can't live on Pastor Rob's word or on anyone who speaks or teaches His word. God wants you to know for yourself how He feels about you. And I don't care what your education level is. If you can read or hear, I mean, in today's technology, you don't even have to read. The telephone's now, Jessica's got the phone and she pushes it and it just reads scripture to you. So you're getting it in your ears, but you need to know and understand how God feels about you. Because we've all had this image that God is just waiting for me to mess up. He knows we're going to mess up. But He is merciful and loves you.